Come on, let three people know God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. If there's nothing else you get from this. We say it all the time at church, and this is what we get to be a reflection of, is that God loves you. God loves you. God absolutely loves you. So that's why we are diving in to 1 Corinthians today and continue our series, How to Thrive in Christ. And once again, maybe it's your first time getting to hang out with us, but it's a reminder for those who have been here all along. The reason we're in 1 Corinthians is the Corinthian culture is very similar to ours. They are, you live your truth and I'll live my truth. And the problem with that is, once they become a Christian, they can't say, live in your truth, I'll live in my truth, because they're supposed to live in the truth. In other words, we're supposed to, as you heard it from the pastor growing up, saying, we live in the world, not of the world, but we get to be a reflection of heaven in the world. And this is where the Corinthians continue to struggle, and this is what Paul is trying to dive into today as we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 7, and what we're going to learn through today is remain in the situation. Remain in the situation. All the Jersey Shore fans got excited, but that's how old I am. Yes. Oh, not the reunion. Never watched it. Got nothing for you, right? So that being said, remain in the situation. How many of us have ever wanted to just get out of a situation? 1,000%. Some right now are. They're trying to figure it out if they're going to the bathroom or trying to say they're getting water. But all of us have had situations where we want to get out of it. Maybe it's a tough season. Maybe it's a tough conversation. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Whatever it is, all of us have been in those seasons where we have this escapism where we just want to get away. I think there was an airline who did a commercial about that not too long ago. Like, I just want to get away. We just want to get away. Maybe it was Philly cheesesteak. I don't know what it is. Or maybe it was a cheesecake commercial. I don't know. Whatever it is, sometimes you just want to get away. But what if God has something for you in the middle of it? Like, I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when I saw that fiery furnace, like, man, that smells like barbecue. Oh, crap, they're putting an apple in my mouth. What in the world is happening? Like, I would want to get away. If I was Daniel going to that lion's den, I would want to get away. If I was Lazarus feeling like this was death, I would want to get away. And yet Jesus made me rise again. Don't you know? He was like, I know this feeling. I felt it before when he died the second time. Think about that. Like, I don't know about you. When I was Jesus going to the cross, if I was, I would want to get out of that situation. Yet he remained in it. And this is the struggle that the Corinthians have, because they wanted to get out of the situation they were in, because it seemed a little bit easier. So if you've got your Bible today, let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to unpack a little bit what Paul's talking about, and then we're going to be, most of our time today is going to be in 17 to 23, if you want to take your time. Actually, 24, sorry, I gypped you a verse there. 17 to 24. So if you've got your Bible, let's go ahead and get to 1 Corinthians 7. If you don't, as always, they're free for you in the garden. Go get it, write your name in it, take notes in it, bring your smiling face with you, and that next week. If you do things digitally, as always, you can go on our free Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. It will bring it to your favorite app store, and you can download that. You'll see like a notes tab. You can save notes in there, email notes in there, but it's got everything that's happening at the Vine for you, so you can keep up with that. But as always, Zach Candler, make sure, birthday month, make sure, wherever you're watching around the world, as silence fell on the room. He doesn't like that. Zach's turning 85 this year, y'all. He is just crushing it. What's Warren Buffett got on him? I'm just saying. But he makes sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week that the scripture is on the screen for you. And as we always start out, in the name of the Lord, if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 at verse 7, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord as I roll up my sleeves, because it's getting hot up in here. So 1 Corinthians 7 verse 7 says this: I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. What Paul has been talking about is marriage and singleness. And he talks about the gift of being married and the gift of being single. And we all have those seasons where there's a giftedness in both. When you're married, you realize the giftedness of singleness. And when you're single and you get married, you realize the gift of marriage. Both of those things are a gift. And so Paul is saying, hey, I wish that you could be like me, committed to the Lord, being single, but you're not. And that's okay, because you have the gift of marriage. All right, sometimes that gets thrown around in the church, and sometimes it gets misinterpreted what that's talking about. But in a nutshell, Paul is talking about this gift that we have in each and every season. Now, he's not talking about our spiritual gifts. We'll get to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But he is setting the stage, because he's about to shift to application of these gifts. He's going to say, you've been given this gift of a season to do something in particular in the Lord. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in it. And so he is now having this shift to this transformation and application for the Corinthians. And that's what we're going to get to here as we talk about 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17 and going forward. So we're going to start with verse 17 in and of itself. So now we know that we've got this gift of this season. And so what in the world do we do with it? Well, Paul just goes in and he goes for the jugular. It's going to be a good time. So I'm just going to let you know. Today he's going to dive right in about how you and I are supposed to be faithful and remain in the situation that God has us in. It says this in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 17. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all churches, in all the churches. Live as a believer in whatever situation that you are in. Now, sometimes that's hard. You can go when Paul writes his letter to the Colossian church and the church in Colossae, and Colossians 3:23 is what? Work as unto the Lord, not unto man. So that way in every situation, whatever we're doing, we're not working to man, we're working to the Lord. Now, for you and I, we've heard that so much, it can almost be a platitude. But what we can miss is Paul is actually appealing to his Jewish upbringing right here. See, in Judaism, what ended up happening, you talked about your walk in life. You have to talk about what it's like to be human. We don't do that in church, do we? We got to have it all together. We don't like talking about our struggles because oftentimes, I'll be honest with you, we do the same thing in our workplace, don't we? We can't be weak. If we're weak, then we're fired. And we think in the church that that's going to happen, that we're going to be rejected and dejected, and we're not going to be able to be a part of that. And I believe, and I know here at our Vine fam, we try our best not to do that, but we're human. We're going to mess that up. We get that wrong. But sometimes we got to understand that starts inside of us, and we have to make a decision whether we're going to be okay at sometimes being vulnerable. Does it mean that you need to stand up sometimes and say it to everybody? Like, we don't come up here and say, hey, like we had back in, Sunday night prayer meeting. Everyone come up and confess your favorite sin. Let's go ahead and get it out front. Like, nobody would want to come to do that, right? That wouldn't be an altar call that many would have. And then you would have the one. Have you seen the baptism videos where everybody talks about their... Anyway, it's good time. So if that happens next and in a couple of Sundays, I'm for it. We'll record it. I'm good for it because that's what it's about. But seriously, wherever you are, we have to be reminded that we have to be a believer and we have to reflect Christ's light wherever we are. So why did it appeal to the Judaism and the Jewish in Paul? Jewish nature of Paul, because oftentimes they would sit around a dinner table and just talk about what they were struggling with, what it's like to be a human. Now, how does that apply to you and I? Well, see, if we're not talking about our weakness, oftentimes we can miss how Jesus showed us the way to be a better human, the better way to be a human, as a matter of fact, right? Because he's fully God, fully man. He showed us the way to do that, but oftentimes we have this standard that's so high. Sometimes we look at Jesus and say, that standard's so high, I can't live up to it, and we're right, but it doesn't mean that we just give up. It means we constantly pursue it in every situation. So look at that. It says a person should live as a believer in whatever situation. Now these two go together. The Lord has assigned them, and God has called them. It's a big deal. If we understand that God has called us to be in that situation and to be in that season, it's a lot different than fighting God in it, right? Job was struggling with that. His friends didn't understand why he was in that situation, did he? None of them did. They actually made fun of him. Even his wife straight up told him, just curse God and get it over with. And he didn't do it. And he realized in the end why he was going through that situation. So whatever situation you're in right now, instead of trying to fight to get out of the situation, I hope and pray that you would understand God has called you to it. Because when you understand that, it completely reframes and reshapes everything that you do. C.S. Lewis says this in The Question of God. He's talking about how each and every one of us have an opportunity. We got to believe something. If you and I believe that God does exist, then it completely changes everything about our life. Because we know that one day we will give an account in front of God for our life. It's not gonna be what grandma said. It's not gonna be what you read in a book. It's not gonna be what you read in a social media post or a conspiracy theory you had about Jesus. The question that you're gonna stand before an almighty God to answer first is, who is Jesus to you?
And those who have rejected Jesus will be an unbeliever. They will go to the great white throne judgment, and they will be cast into an eternal hell, separated from God eternally. And the believer after that, we can get all celebrated and we can be happy, but there's a next question. You and I go to a second judgment. We go to the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ, now Jesus is going to say, now that you know me as your Lord and Savior, what did you do with it in your life? This is what Paul is saying, to live as a believer in every situation. What did you do with Jesus? How did you live your life with Jesus? Did you try to minimize his impact in your life? Did you like him on the mountaintops and say, forget you in the valleys? Or did you worship him in the valleys as much as you worshiped him on the mountaintops? What did you do as a believer to live your life, to give him glory and honor? Because he does exist. And we know that that is what's going to happen before us. But here's what happens with each and every one of us. We like to platitude it out, don't we? Romans 8:28, God works together all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We love Jeremiah 29:11. I have plans for you to prosper and make you prosper. We forget right in Jeremiah 29 before that, he says you're going to go in exile for 70 years, Israel, for your disobedience. We don't like that part. We want to get to this verse. Yeah, boom, I'm getting blessed. But I got to go through all of that to have the full blessing. What if that's the season God's bringing you to? The blessing he's calling you to has to make you walk through that. And on the opposite side of this, in Jesus's ministry, we see there's a problem that arises because some people do live as a believer in every situation. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were paramount about living as religion in this, in the every situation. They even tithed off of their spices. But Jesus said they lived in whitewashed tombs. And the problem is you start judging people who aren't living your way. Oftentimes when you're a Christian, that's what you do. You start cutting everything out, right? And there's nothing wrong with cutting sin out of your life. That's fine. But, you know, all of a sudden, like I said, you know, you can't listen to this song. You can't watch this movie. You can't do those things. Absolutely, I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit can call you to do it. But the difference is when you do those things in Christ Jesus, you cannot go into temptation with those things as you would have before. But what happens is when religion creeps in, like the Pharisee and Sadducee, we start judging people who aren't living that way. And we think God can't use them. Like all of a sudden, God chose us because of how good we are. Oftentimes we see that in the church. We think of how good we are, God chose us. But today I just want to remind you, God uses and works through you and I, not because of us, but in spite of us. I don't get to stand up here. Listen, there's nothing special about me except I'm trying to trust Jesus and follow him step by step just like you. This is just the assignment that he's given me. That's it. And so for each and every one of us, whatever situation we're in, I hope and pray that we understand that we don't need to be judgmental about it, but instead we can trust that God's working through us in this season. And now why in the world does this matter before we go on for each and every one of us to live this life that God's called? Because you and I are a reflection to him, to everyone. We get to be that light in the dark. We get to reflect the champion we just sang about. We just worshiped. We get to be a reflection of that to everyone. Did you ever growing up, if you didn't grow up in church, it's all right. If you did grow up in church, you'll know this a lot. But if you ever went to a friend's house for a sleepover and mom or dad said, be on your what behavior? What kind of behavior? Best behavior. Why? You don't think about that as a kid. You either have those that are rule followers and do it, and then you have those that are boundary pushers, and they go hog wild when they're away from mom and dad. Those are kind of, there's two extremes. I don't feel like there's really any in between. You're either one of those two because you represent your parents and your family. That's why they said that. Maybe that didn't connect with you. Let's think about sports or a competition. Oftentimes I would hear this from my coaches growing up. Remember the name on the jersey you represent. You represent a team on the front and your family on the back. Conduct yourself in a manner that matters that way. This is what Paul is saying. Remember who you represent. When we go through grief and we go through mourning, the reason we don't grieve as others grieve is because our hope is greater than death itself. Doesn't mean we can't grieve. It just means when we grieve, we still know how to point to Jesus and say, well, here's what I'm walking through. See, death is just but a stepping stone to heaven, so I can rejoice in Jesus' name when this is happening. This loss that I'm walking through, this struggle that I'm walking through. Hey, throughout the entire Bible, there's a bunch of messed up people that Jesus and God worked through all the way in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I just get to happen to be another one of them. And I can't wait to see how he works this out. This is what he's trying to get to the Corinthians. Now, verse 18 through 20, it's going to get real uncomfortable for the men in the room, but I'm going somewhere with this, all right? Don't worry, I'm not going Joshua, and we're going to go first thing that the Lord calls us to do. Don't get excited in the house of the Lord, but here we go. Verse 18 to 20, here it is. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Don't know how that would happen, but we won't open that medically. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Look at this. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. This is Paul appealing to his Jewish upbringing again. Circumcision is a physical demarcation that separated Jews from Gentiles. It was a representation of the covenant of God with the Jewish people to go into his promise, especially for males. Now, if you remember, the first kind of riff that Paul and Peter had was in Acts 15. They had a council together. In verse, you want to read it, it's verse 1 to 21. Paul says, hey, a Gentile doesn't have to be circumcised to be saved. Peter says, yes, they do. This is tradition. This is what we're supposed to do. This is how they're set apart. And by verse 21, Peter has come to Paul's side and said, hey, circumcision matters not. It's actually more important what you're saying. They are now baptized in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what helps set them apart. So if you read this, what is Paul saying with this for each and every one of us when we look at this? Remain in the situation. They were when God called them. Now, this isn't an abusive situation or a non-kingdom building situation. So I want to make sure that Paul's not saying that. Paul's not saying that you and I should stay the same. He's not saying that you and I should never not advance in our walk with Christ, that we should just stay the exact same that we were, because that is where the Corinthians are. They are staying the exact same they are. They are trying to continue to in their sin while saying they're a believer of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, no, this is not what you should do. Instead, in the situation that God's called you in, you should trust him to lead you through it. I think the Corinthians struggle with what you and I struggle with today. And I think we can all agree with this. The problem with us today and the problem with the Corinthians is they were looking for the next big thing. Never happy and content with where they are. And there's nothing wrong with that. I do that. We all do that. This happens in the church. This happens in life. We all do that. We look forward to the next big thing. And the problem is we have to have contentment in our heart, not living for the next big thing. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 26, wrote this down so I wouldn't forget, what would it be for us to gain the whole world but lose our very soul? Don't waste your life continuing to chase the next promotion, chase the next rung up the ladder, chase the next big paycheck, chase the next. Doesn't mean you don't work hard. Doesn't mean you don't try to advance. It doesn't mean that you don't better yourself. It's that your focus is on Jesus and your contentment is on him. Why? Because God can use you right where you are and advance you on his time, can he? Paul himself writes Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and Philemon. He writes all of them from a prison cell. Falsely imprisoned as a Roman citizen, he appeals to Caesar every time, and he knows when he faces Caesar, he will die. We don't have those books of the New Testament if Paul doesn't be obedient to the Lord in prison. If he spends all of his time trying to figure out how he's going to be set free, how he's wrongfully accused, how he's doing all those things. As a matter of fact, if he spent all of his time just going to the one place he wanted to go to, and he didn't get to go there the way he wanted to, which was Rome. He wanted to be an evangelist in Rome with every ounce of his breath and every ounce of his being, and the only way he went there was to die. He spends all of his time doing that. If he would just gave up there and said, well, God, if I'm not going to get to see it, then it doesn't matter. If Moses just would have gave up when he goes to the Red Sea and found out he would see the promised land but not get to take it, do you think that it would have been any good for Israel? No, he remained in the situation. This is where the Corinthians are. This is what's true for you and I. But what do we look at when we talk about contentment for Christ? What does this mean for our lives? It means that you and I are so detached from the things of this life, as we've talked about these past, just a few weeks ago, and we're so focused on Christ that it doesn't matter what happens in this world. What does that mean? Jesus can call you to be a foreign missionary tomorrow, and you're willingly go. I don't know about you, but I just want to know where. I sunburn easy, Lord. I'm just saying. Like, I'm trying to get, where are you sending me? Tahiti, I can sunburn there. It is what it is, I guess. We can figure that out, right? The desert, man, it's a dry, parched land, Lord. I'm going to need you to make ways in the desert. Intent. Better example. The tortoise always wins. See, the hare was chasing the next big thing, wasn't he? Always, man. He was going all over the place running. Instead of running his race, he was trying to figure out the next thing that he needed to do, the next thing that he wanted to do, and see this person and that person, make this connection, do this and this and this and this and this. And the tortoise is just doing his thing, man. Just slowly going. I don't know why I got Cheech and Chong in my head as he's doing it, but it is what it is. You know, he's just slowly going, just running his race. This is what Paul is trying to tell the Corinthians, and this is what's true for you and I. The tortoise was content. The truth is, for you and I, we have to be content, even in the hardest struggle of the sea. Do you think it was not a struggle for a tortoise to go on that race? The hare had all the potential in the world to not only finish the race and finished it fastest, but instead it's the tortoise that always wins. Think about you and me in our own life. Think about the times you've chased the next big thing. I want to be honest with you. I've chased the next big thing at times, and man, it feels like a mountaintop, doesn't it? But it never lasts. It doesn't. Because then I just look, and it's like I've climbed this hill, and all of a sudden I see like Everest, and I'm like, that ain't happening, you know? And then once you get that, what's next? And then once you get that, what's next? And then you just keep living your life for what's next instead of understanding that this season is a gift. This situation is a gift that you and I are in. Why do we stop needing to chase the next thing? Especially that we even talk in a church world. Why does that matter? Because when we keep chasing the next thing, our mission suffers. The mission of the church suffers. The mission of your life suffers. Why? Because you try to carry more weight than you were made to carry. It's just the truth of the matter. And what happens is it comes crashing down. It crashes down on you, around you, and affects everyone around you. That crash out is not anything you want to be a part of and anyone else around you. But being content in the season, understanding, you know what? I got that cancer diagnosis, but I know God's over it, and I trust him in it. Hey, you know, I just lost my job. I just lost that, but God's over it. God's in it. Doesn't mean that I sit back on my haunches. I just say, God, show me. I'm going to go apply at these places, and he's going to open the right door. Hey, I don't know what's happening in your life right now. I know I'm struggling maybe with this addiction, but you know what? I'm giving it to God, and God's over it. I'm struggling with this relationship issue. I'm giving it to God, and God's over it. I'm going to remain faithful in the midst of it. I'm going to remain in the situation. Paul finishes it out this way in 21 to 24 when it comes to the situation that you and I have to remain in. It says this, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to the faith in the Lord is the Lord's free person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. What we talked about last week, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings, brothers and sisters. Each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. In other words, Paul writes that whole thing about Philemon. Remember, he's writing about Onesimus to let him go. That's what that whole book is about, because he meets him in prison, right? And he's telling him, hey, let him go. I know this person's a brother in Christ now, and I know that he gypped you this money, but let him go. So what is he saying? If Philemon didn't let Onesimus go, it doesn't mean Onesimus wasn't going to be saved. It doesn't mean Onesimus wasn't a child of God. What it meant is Onesimus had to deal with those consequences in that season, and that's okay because God could still work through it. Joseph could have been mad at his brothers, right? But God still worked through the situation that he was in as he remained in the situation in Egypt, and it actually set up their salvation in famine. keep hounding these things. Throughout all of Scripture, we see that. So what is Paul talking about? Really quick, I just want to ask you. It says that if you can gain your freedom, do so. He's talking about human slavery, but I think we got to look at this a different way. It's not will you be a slave to anything, it's what will you be a slave to. What will you be a slave to? Because it says, similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. Are we going to be a slave to Christ or anything else? Sometimes we're a slave to the next thing. Sometimes we're slave to a social platform. Sometimes we're slave to a corporate platform, a degree platform, an address platform, whatever that is. Anything but Christ is something that's only going to chain us to death. Because it's sin. Sin. What is sin in our life? We talk about this a lot, but we boiled it down to a couple of weeks ago on Palm Sunday. I think it's the best way to do it. Sin is anything against the will of God. Sin is anything that hurts God and hurts others. It's that simple. And that only has one destination, and it's death. But it's warped us to believe that we're free. It's warped us to believe that you and I can be set free from. And here's the cool thing, not really the cool thing, but the crazy thing about it to me. Do I have to teach you how to sin? Is that a class I take? I mean, I've got a doctorate in it, by golly. I probably got multiple doctorates in sinning. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's good time. Like, your two-year-old has all the degrees in sinning. You don't have to teach them how to. You've never once said, would you just be a bad kid? Like, you've never once had that. Even the rule followers break the rules when they're itty-bitty. Like, all of us sin. And that sin will lead us to slavery. And our slavery in that is addiction. Sometimes it's advancement. Sometimes it's whatever in the things of this world. And that's why Jesus, when he walks, says, hey, you've got to leave everything from this world. You've got to be so detached from this world and so focused on heaven that people want what you got, because what you got, they cannot find here. Or we can be enslaved to Christ. The true freedom our heart seeks. The only chains that lead to life eternally is being chained to Christ. But you and I don't like chains. We don't like being chained to anything. While our chains rattle, being chained to something. It's like when your kid says, you're like, are you sleepy? No. Are you sleepy? Like, it's nap time. I know you're tired and you need no. Crash, right? Like, that's what we do to the Lord. We're chained to this thing, and he's saying, I've set you free from it. And the Corinthians are stuck because Jesus is saying, you're chained to me now, but you keep pulling over here to this sin and trying to shackle yourself back to it. And the problem is, I want you to remain in this situation that's hard. It's not comfortable. It is working that sin out of you, reminding you the chains that those sin left you in. But you're fighting me when I'm the one who sets you free. So wherever you are today, I just hope that the reality of the situation for you today is God can use you right where you are. That doesn't mean that you can't advance. It doesn't mean that you can't be better. It's that you trust God to open the door for advancement on his timing. It doesn't mean you don't work hard. It doesn't mean you just sit back and just wait for it to happen, man. Like, no, you still work hard as unto the Lord, not to man and not this earth. Because here is something we all know, but we have to be reminded of today. God is perfect, not you or me. I get this, I'm just gonna be real, and I'll lay it out here for a minute so many times, and it's awesome, and it's a privilege, but so many times it's like, hey, I just need you to talk to the pastor. And I'm gonna put my cards on the table, okay? Are you ready? I don't have a magic wand to fix your situation. I know you think I do. I know that that's something you probably feel like I've got somewhere, but like, I can't go bippity boo, bippity boo, bippity bobbity boo. Like, I can't do that. It doesn't work. I've tried it. Many times I've tried it. It doesn't work. It just brought me to the loony bin, and that's probably where I need to be. But like, nowhere did I. I'm not a fairy godmother. I don't have a magic wand. But I will say this, as Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, I am a chief sinner among you, and I'm just as messed up as you. I'm just living my assignment. But now when we do get together, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. The Holy Spirit starts working a little something, and we can work through anything. As long as we're pursuing Christ together. As long as we have no agenda outside of Jesus. That's what I get to have, and that is what I can give you. And you know what? In Christ Jesus, that's what you can give everyone else that comes to you. Yes, that advice that you give sometimes, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. We all have that same Holy Spirit in us. So today, I just want to say it to you this way. Maybe you've belittled yourself and tried to falsely humble yourself to say, I don't have a big platform. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a worship leader. I'm not a book writer. So there's no way that I can make an impact for Christ in my situation. And I just want to say, that's what you got to break free from today. Because if you didn't have a reason or a purpose to be in that situation, God would have already removed you from it. If God didn't have a purpose for you here, God would have already called you home. We'd already be in heaven, where the AC is great and the banana pudding don't mess with my stomach and I can finally eat macaroni and cheese again. I'm just saying, wherever it is, we would be there. But instead, we get to live on mission here, even if it's not easy. You were bought at a price. Be reminded of that price. We don't celebrate that price being paid just at Easter. We celebrate it every day. And just a reminder, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. You're watching online or you're here, and this is just a reminder today. What price was paid that God would give his one and only son to do for us what we can't do for ourselves? What did he do? He lived the perfect sinless life. He lived love God, love others perfectly, what you and I can't do. Then he died for our sins on the cross, being our eternal atoning sacrifice. What does that mean? Every time we've hurt God and hurt others, past, present, and future, Jesus died for once and for all. But then he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave so that we can live out heaven on earth now. You and I can live out love God, love others right now perfectly in God's seat where we were designed to be in at God's table right now. We don't have to wait till heaven. We can live that out now through the Holy Spirit. But we've got to have faith. And why in the world would God do that for you and I? Because God loves you. More importantly, though, because God is love. Think about this. God is love. Did God have to create anything for him to be love? No. Love existed before the foundations of the universe. Love existed before you and I took our first breath. God is love. And he loves you and I so much that love is expressed. He said, hey, of all the things in this earth, of all the situations you walk through, there's only one that I don't want you to remain in. And that's in sin, separated from me eternally. But you got to trust me, because I've already broken that chain to sin. See, it's an invisible chain to sin right now through my son's death, burial, and resurrection, through the life that he lived. The question is, are you going to keep chained to it? Are you going to understand that you're going to be chained to me and have life eternally? But the choice is fully yours. See, Paul writes it this way for each and every one of us as we go out and live our lives today in Romans 6, 22 and 23. He says, but now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For those who know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, be reminded of that. We've been set free from that past, and in Christ Jesus, our champion, we can walk in victory no matter what season we're in, no matter what this world throws at us, and we can be his light in a deep, dark world searching for him. For those who don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you keep chasing the chains of maybe addiction or relationships or again, status or money or wealth or power. Whatever it is you are chasing in this world, just understand it is chaining you to death. But Jesus came to set you free from it. So the question is, what will you believe today? Will you be a slave to this world, or will you be a slave to Christ Jesus? It's not whether you're going to be a slave or not. It's what you choose to be a slave to. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, each and every week, what we do here at the Vine Church is we pray out loud for those coming to faith for the first time in Jesus' name. And we just want to make sure today, wherever you are, you know you aren't praying alone. There is nothing that you do alone in Christ Jesus. We just said where two or three are gathered in your name, there he is also. So we are going to say out loud this prayer of faith for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're watching online or you're in the house, I'm going to ask you to boldly on the count of three, if for the first time you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you have made him Lord and Savior of your life, you have trusted him as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, just slip it up and you can put it back down. If you're online, you can shoot up a hand emoji or shoot us a message. If that's you today, on the count of three, one, two, three, wherever you are right now, if that's you and it's the first time that you've given your life to Christ Jesus, please just put your hand up, you can put it down, and you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. If you're online, the reason we want to celebrate this decision with you is this isn't the finish line. This is the starting block to the rest of your eternity and the way that you grow through every situation and season that God has called and assigned you to is by being connected to a local church near you, and we want to help you take that step. Right now, as we're having this invitation moment and we're talking about a next step, we just celebrated Charles Finney a little bit earlier, and the next step of one man going forward in salvation in the Chief Justice of New York, that there were over 100,000 people saved in 12 months in New York City from that. Maybe your next step's baptism. Maybe you've never taken that next step and you have questions about that and you would like to take that next step. Please let us know. Go to thevine.tv/baptism. We want to celebrate that next step. That's a freedom that you can walk in. That's how you can continue to remain in the situation that you are in and trust Jesus to work through you in it. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up and stand up. We're about to go into this time of worship, and I just pray when we talk about remaining in the situation we're in and the season we're in, even as tough as it may seem, let us be reminded that Jesus is worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all. And that's why we trust him through it, because if he says what he's gonna do, then he's gonna do it, right? It's not gonna return void. So let's worship him today. Thank you.
thankful that Jesus is worthy of it all? We don't have to be, because he's already done it for us. So wherever you are right now, we are so thankful again for you spending this time with us. It's an honor and a privilege to see your smiling face in the house of the Lord. And we'd love to see you next week. Because guess what? It's Mama's Day in him. You hadn't gone. I'm just saying, it's Mother's Day. We may or may not have a surprise for Mom, but we have a seat saved for you, and we want to see your smiling face and celebrate Mom well. So make plans to be here with us next week. And as we go out into this dark, dark world searching for the light of Jesus, I just pray that we would continue to be his light to everyone that he places in our path. Have an awesome week, and always remember,